Around the world, people are working to bring a greater sense of balance to the planet. Earth Wisdom Circles is here to showcase these people and projects. Now, here's your host for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio, Elaine Grohman.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Elaine Grohman on Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. And I'm delighted to be able to introduce you to Mark Ostash, who is just an amazing human being. And he is doing some really important work with helping people understand digital wellness. And I'm going to let Mark explain what that's all about. And later on in the show, he's been gracious enough to offer a free download for those who are listeners to his new book, Courage to Connect. So welcome to the show, Mark.
Elaine, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. So tell me, what is digital wellness? And how did you begin with that?
Sure. Great question. The way that I view digital wellness, I think it's a growing field right now, but it's essentially becoming more aware of how our digital habits or the digital calories that we're consuming behind our phones, our screens, et cetera, are impacting our mind, body, and spirit.
So what led you to that awareness, number one, and what made you want to help others in that regard?
Sure. Like many other folks that find their way into advocacy work, they themselves were one day kind of the addicts, if you will, or the receivers of some of those heightened awareness. So for me, 15 years ago, I was studying psychology and neuroscience at Albion College, a small liberal arts school in Michigan. And I began to realize the psychology of technology was becoming a thing. MySpace and Facebook were new platforms that college students were experiencing. I learned rather quickly that looking at your ex-girlfriend's MySpace page and seeing her new life with her new boyfriend and her new exciting ways didn't bode well for my own mental health. And then I began noticing how other habits and other tendencies, whether it was buying things on eBay with student loan money, or talking to my peers who were also finding that the days that they felt isolated or down in the dumps was correlated to the amount of screen time and the things they were doing online.
I agree with you. It's always when you have that own experience yourself and you recognize how that is sidetracking your own course of your life and your day and consuming a lot of your time, that that's probably not a good thing to do.
No.
And have you looked at, I'm sure you probably have, but I know that they have done some studies that there's certain, I guess you'd call them algorithms, that are intended to create or to elicit a response that you can't get enough, a craving.
Yes. So, fast forward from 15 years ago, when kind of that initial seed was planted in my heart, I began to do more and more work and thinking and even product creation around ways that we could self-manage our time online. And through that experience, I began to talk to other professionals, both from education and government and thought leaders in and around the space of digital wellness. So rooting us kind of in the present day, there is a movement happening. You may have seen kind of some of the essence of that movement through a recent documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma.
Yes.
If you have or haven't seen that, it's worth watching, and it starts to paint the picture of our need to be more aware of how our social platforms and mostly the world in which we are gathering our internal perspective of the external world from is a little biased in the way that it's been created and engineered to show us the content, the things, the products, the people, et cetera, that we believe to be kind of the feeds that make up our world.
It's almost like, to use an analogy, it almost becomes like a religious experience for people. Like they think that it's somehow going to save them if they know all this information.
It's very true. And I often talk about kind of the devotion in which we have to our smartphones and social media. And like any other platform or technology that's existed, it can either be a tool or a temptation. And I believe that line has been crossed and is continuing to deepen in the amount of people that have crossed it, where the temptation and the fixation on social media and the content behind our screens and the headlines and news, et cetera, has become so addicting. And so we become so faithful to that for our daily bread that often skews our ability of, to discern the truth.
Yes, and it's interesting because you see how people that would normally prior to this would be more level-headed. Mm-hmm. And then people that are very reactionary, and we know, or we should know, that we can't retrieve these things. You know, it has an impact on how people see you as an individual, what it is that you're willing to post. And also your employment possibilities could be hampered.
Oh, you know, yeah.
If you're very inflammatory and because you, something has gotten your ire up, you know, and once it's out there, it's out there.
That's right. It's your digital reputation.
Yeah. When you began doing this work, and I really applaud you, Mark, for doing this, and I honestly am so grateful because I have met you. You're the son of a dear friend of mine, and your integrity is palpable.
Thank you.
Your energy is sincere and kind and loving and inclusive, and that's really important. Because when people begin to understand what they're feeling, they will understand more how to follow someone who is a true leader versus someone that just has rhetoric.
Sure.
And you are becoming a true leader. So thank you for that.
I receive those words, Elaine, and I appreciate your you speaking life into me.
Thank you. So tell me, when you began talking to people about digital wellness, how was that initially received? I know that you've done work with major corporations and in many different arenas. I imagine small groups, large groups. How was that initially received when you kind of help people understand, you know, probably everyone sitting in this auditorium has a problem with their phone or their desire to know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, at first it was an uphill battle. It was probably about 10 years ago when I began formally giving seminars and workshops to organizations, churches, schools, et cetera. And you could tell that the message was beginning to stick, but it wasn't nearly as sticky as it was in the last couple of years. So I stood to my passion and desire to know that this would eventually become not only a movement, but a mission of mine. And I now know that the pain that we're all experiencing, especially in this virtual world that we find ourselves in through the COVID pandemic and the quarantine, you begin to see more and more this need for what I call the courage to connect. And the courage to connect is not only is it the title of my book, but it's really rooted in this desire that at its core, the word courage means heart. And at our core, and the original definition of courage, it means to share your heart with the world. And I believe that although the internet and social media and our online presence has allowed us to be more connected, research is showing, and even my own heart shows and feels sometimes, that over connection that we have on social media is reflective of the inner isolation that we feel in our homes, in our basements, in our virtual settings. So the idea to share your story, even if it's in a remote setting or over Zoom, and having the courage to do so, can still ignite and create human connection in a deep sense, but it might just be a little different than when we were in person or at events or having that energy that exists when you're live face to face.
Well, it's so interesting that you're doing that. And thank you for that explanation, because I think that it actually gave me an idea that I want to talk to you about privately when we're done.
Sure.
Because, you know, we so want to be a part of something.
Yes.
And sometimes we don't have the maturity or, you know, the emotional balance to understand the difference between following something or just making noise. And
right.
I think that what we need to understand is we do have an incredible platform available to us, this virtual world. As just earlier today, I was in a conversation or in communication with somebody who's doing stuff on the other side of the world. You know, so there is this ability to connect, but if we make it meaningful.
Yes.
If we don't let it be a platform for gossip.
Right.
If we don't let it be a platform for naysayers or people that are willing to Because they're wounded themselves, willing to wound.
Right.
So that's what it's about. I think, and I love the courage to connect, and we are inherently here to connect.
Yes.
Relationship is fundamental to human life.
I truly believe that human connection is the most powerful connection we have. And to your point, and I always like to root people in this kind of analogy of your digital calories should be viewed the same way that your physical calories are. So as we become more and more kind of open to this idea of clean eating or organic foods or sourcing and tracking where our foods are coming from, that's just heightened awareness to demonstrate like, okay, we have a concern for our physical health. So why could we, or what would it look like if we apply that same logic to our digital health? So for example, Elaine, you had posted something on your birthday the other day, and it was really elegant and poetic, and it was just rooted in appreciation for the life that you've been given and the number of years that you've had on Earth. When I read that and received that, it was like eating a chocolate banana avocado smoothie, right? I just felt like, oh, I feel quenched from this content. I feel really good. And that was drastically different than when I felt when I saw two friends from college in a political banter about the current election. That felt like I just drank stale coffee with a burnt piece of toast. So when you think about, like, again, social media isn't bad, and it's here to stay. So how do you think about, like, okay, if I've had one of those days where I feel like I've consumed a lot of empty digital calories that feel like donuts and cupcakes and big gulps, how do I then say, okay, I'm going to be intentional about the content I post or the content that I read this afternoon, or I'm just going to take a break and kind of cleanse out my palate?
Thank you. And I appreciate your kind words. I'm very conscious of trying to uplift people, and I listen to spirit, and I pay attention to that, because I think that we're in a time right now where we literally can transform our humanity. And this time was always prophesized, but we have to remember, you know, are you going to listen to rhetoric that follows the old patriarchal way of separation, or are you going to embrace the new way of appreciation?
Yes.
Because we are here for a very short time as human beings. And the courage, it's interesting because you use the word courage, but I also think that sometimes people can misunderstand the word courage, where they think they have to have bravado.
Yes.
And courage is dignity. Dignity to, in my mind, courage means dignity to stand up for what is wholesome and true and collaborative and has the potential to grow, not to destroy.
Yes.
And as we mentioned, you know, communication and connection is inherent because we are connected before we're even born.
Right.
So tell me how you have received feedback from individuals that have listened to you speak or gone to different things or listened to you virtually. How has it changed their lives for them?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where I'll get a random email or a note, or I'll see somebody at an event when we were gathering physically, and they say, oh my gosh, I heard you speak 3 years ago, and I no longer have my phone in the bedroom, and I'm sleeping that much better. Or, you know what, I had a conversation with my wife about the significance of making eye contact when we're talking. And ever since I heard that 30-minute message, I've taken that to heart. So I hear those little, like, bits and pieces. Part of my kind of content cadence myself is I send a monthly newsletter, and that's usually sharing personal stories similar to those in the book that then give an opportunity for people to reflect. And my work, similar to your work, Elaine, has to deal with encouraging and empowering people to reflect on areas of their life that need restoration. We're a broken body, we're a broken mind, and I believe that being in community and fellowship and connection and offering people a chance to kind of dust off some of those corners of their heart to reflect on areas that have been either swept under the rug, repressed, or just They haven't had the desire to go there. My work is intended for people to go there. So to that end, I get people from those email newsletters responding back to me saying, listen, this is exactly what I needed. I really appreciate you sharing your story, being vulnerable, and thank you so much. And as you know, being in this world, sometimes those messages fuel your tank to keep writing and to keep putting yourself out there, knowing, especially as an empath, somebody who is very empathetic towards others' needs, if I don't clean my own energy, if I don't take care of myself, some of that heaviness and some of those negative thoughts can even, you know, resist my ability to keep leaning into the gifts that God's given me.
Well, you know, and you use the phrase broken, or the word broken, and I would say we're not broken. We're wounded.
Wounded, sure.
Because, you know, broken often in some people's minds means irrevocably damaged. But wounded means there's a possibility for healing. And then a possibility for having not only that problem or that challenge be healed, but have insight and awareness so that we don't fall back into that pattern yet again, or are more able to see it in others and help dissuade them from that. So, you know, our language is so vitally important that we understand what we're saying and how we're saying and how it's impacting other people. So with your book, tell us about your book, Courage to Connect.
So Courage to Connect is a book full of stories and resources to help you as the reader create more meaningful connection in your life. And as I finished this book, writing this book through the first kind of shutdown back in April and May, I was finding myself really encouraged from the work I'd been doing and then the global kind of pain that we were experiencing. So the timing to release this to the world, I could tell, was very divine. So in short, it's about a dozen stories that are all personal experiences that I've had that are demonstrated to get you to think and reflect with two calls to action at the end. How do you create more meaningful connection online based on this story? And then how do you create more meaningful connection offline? So there's a call to action at the end of each story, encouraging you to think through what would this look like to be more vulnerable online? And then how could I take this message and this reflection offline to do deeper work through writing, reaching out to somebody, repairing a relationship, et cetera.
Thank you. That's really beautiful. And I wanted to make sure that people knew that you could reach out to Mark and go to his website at www.markostach.com. And he has also been gracious enough to offer a link to a free download of his book for those that are listening. And I don't know if that's for a limited time or whatever, but please take advantage of that, because you just never know when you need to have that little nudge in the right direction. So I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Know that you've also done a TEDx talk. How was that?
It was a great experience. I've done two, and the first one I did was focused on adrenaline, which is just kind of a play on words about the adrenaline and the cortisol and stress that pumps from the connections and the dings and the buzzes and the notifications from our phone, and how our biochemistry is changing from these devices. I've evolved that thinking, and a few years later, did a message called Dippies or Digital Hippies, what the future of technology would look like for in the year 2034. And in my projections of the future, I saw a new subset of the generation called Digital Hippies. And these are folks known as Dippies that don't use smartphones. They've seen their aunts, uncles, teachers, parents become emotionally and physically burnt out from their dependency on smartphones. And they said, you know what, we're going to put on our bell bottoms, peace and love, and we're going to drop our smartphones, still be connected to each other and the internet, but just do so in a more intentional way. So that was a lot of fun to share. As you know, future projections sometimes are really accurate and other times they're way off.
Well, it's interesting because I often remember of the time where I had not only a push button phone, but a rotary phone when I was a kid. And it was always a joy to run to the phone when you heard the phone ringing, and you actually were limited by how long that wire was or the cord was, you know, so you often sat down on the ground and just had a conversation, you know. It was a whole other thing, or go into a friend's house to talk to them.
Right. You know? Yeah, you'd knock on the door. We'd say, hey, you know, is Grant there? Can he play today?
Yeah.
And it's like the spontaneity of that interaction and the healthy disruption in that household often yielded two kids playing in the backyard.
Yes. Yes.
And I think about, you know, even as you mentioned the rotary phone and, you know, kind of going back to earlier parts of our conversation, so much of our, like the currency I believe in this world is attention and self-worth. So we're always looking and seeking for attention and to be known, to be seen. And in a healthy way, that makes the world go round. And it makes connections happen through, you know, the evolution of a human being and the way that, you know, when they get to that kind of sage place, they can be giving to others as a mentor and feeding life and helping others navigate that path. The problem becomes is that, you know, it's like when you go out to go check, do you have mail, right? You know that if you have mail in your mailbox, you're either looking for a check or you're looking for a birthday card or something you're hoping is in that mail. And the same kind of desire happens every time you check your email or you get a notification on social media. So technology is playing into this deep-seated need to have to be known.
Yes.
And I was talking with my mom. I know you mentioned my mom is a mutual friend, and she's a wonderful woman. She told me a few years ago when I was kind of deep into my writing, she said, you know what, when you and your siblings were little, this is probably the year 1985, she would find herself stuck at home as a stay-at-home mom, not stuck at home, but at home doing kind of the rhythms that a stay-at-home mom would do with three young kids. And during her maybe 20 minutes of downtime for the day, she would sometimes look in the obituary, see who died, and find solace in the fact that she's alive and others had died, right? Right. And that's just a like an example of how we're still doing that today. We're looking for to both affirm our existence and then seek people to see us and to know us as worthy and as gifted and as, you know, treasured children on this earth.
Well, thank you, Mark. And I think that what we need to understand is we already are worthy. We're born. We've been born. We're here. So if we can change our mindset and say to one another and help people understand, if you're here, there's a reason. And we're all here. I remember having the great blessing of meeting a Peruvian elder in Peru, Quechuan elder. And he said, you know, every human being was born for exactly the same reason. We have exactly the same path. It is to know that you are love, to use that love. Well, first of all, to be happy. So you can use that happiness as a barometer of how well you're doing. Use the love that you inherently are, and not the emotion of love, but the power of love, that power that holds the universe in place, and then to take action.
Yes.
And so it's not so, we forget that we want validation, but we don't validate ourselves.
Right.
So there's a disconnect that has to be brought back. And I think that one of the greatest ways that we can do that is to have appreciation of the living world.
Yes.
And so we think of ourselves as a standalone, but we're not. We're part of this great, beautiful cosmos.
Yes.
And that's where
yes, I love it. I receive the truth you speak, Elaine. And, you know, I guess I would just reiterate that by saying, I believe courage is that modern day vehicle for us to remember and to work through the resistance, to share our gifts, to create connection on the days that we feel isolated and disconnected. Those are the most important moments when you need to have the courage to reach out to somebody or to hop on that Zoom call with your team of 10 people and start the meeting with something that you're grateful for and not talk about COVID stats or the political tension, but instead find the pockets. I call it left field positivity, right? So when you feel like, whoa, that just came in out of left field. Oftentimes that's how we need to disrupt and change the course of the conversations when they're going towards a negative spiral of fear and gossip, bring in that left field positivity and begin sharing what you yourself feel grateful for, and then inviting others to do the same.
Yes, and I think that one of the things that, if there is a silver lining and a jewel in all of this, is we're seeing what right now, all of the things that have been hidden for so long. So it's not that corruption wasn't there. We just didn't see it.
Right.
It's not that illness and death wasn't there. It was in a sterile environment.
Right.
And we're seeing life happen.
Yes.
And we want to learn that this has always been happening, but now how do we redirect it?
Yes.
So that it's contributory. We're contributory for as long as we're here.
That's right.
Because it's an awfully short time.
That's right.
Even 100 years is an awfully short time.
And speaking of life, I've got a little 3-year-old life that wants to say hi. Can you say hi to Elaine?
Can you say hi, beautiful.
Say
how
hi,
are you,
Elaine.
Sweetie?
This is my little 3-year-old daughter coming over to see if she can get some more paper to continue drawing.
Well, you better give it to her, Daddy.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mark, please tell me, what is the best way for people to reach out to you?
Best way is hello@markostach.com. That's okay. hello@markostach.com. Another way for you listeners out there that want to use text, you can text the word follow to the number 33777. And in fact, the next 10 people that text the word follow to the number 33777, I'll send you the link for the free eBooks to make sure that you have that in your email address.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much. So, Mark, I want to thank you for all that you do. My guest today has been Mark Ostach. He is the author of Courage to Connect. I would encourage you to get that book, read that book, absorb it, see how it can change your life. This is Elaine Grohman for Earth Wisdom Circles on Empower Radio. Remember, you too can be courageous and kind, loving and inclusive, because that's what life is all about. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
Thank you.
Take care.